For the scripture reading this morning, we'll turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis, chapter 22, and read from verse 1 through verse 19. Genesis, chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, and behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hath not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they arose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Here ends the reading of God's word.
D. Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you according to the portion of the word we read together, Genesis chapter 22, and we emphasize verse 9. I read with you verse 9, but you understand we consider the whole story. Genesis 22, verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. We speak to you this morning about the sacrifice of Isaac. Maybe you heard often preaching about the sacrifice of Abram. Abram, who gave his only beloved son. A beautiful example of God the Father, who loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. But it's very useful to emphasize also the sacrifice of Isaac, especially for you, my young people. For he had an age of about, we don't know it exactly, 16, 17 years old. And that's our theme. A young boy who sacrificed himself. And therefore we see him in the first place as an example of Christ. There are also a lot of differences, of course, between Isaac and Christ. But he is also, at the same time, a beautiful example. In Isaac, we see a lot of the image of Christ. And we see what is saving grace working out in the hearts and lives of young people too. So that must make us wholly jealous. Let that prayer be and grow in your heart. O Lord, give also me the grace to be like Isaac. We see him in the second place as a follower of Christ. An example. But he was also, how young he was, a true disciple, a true follower of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we need to be all, of course. To follow the steps of the Savior. To be in his way. To stay in his way. To persevere till the end. To lose our own life. So that our life may be Christ, our dying may be gain. And we see him in the third place more shortly, because tonight we will explain that more fully, as an heir of Christ. The inheritance of Christ became in this way his portion. So three thoughts, the sacrifice of Isaac. Isaac as an example of Christ, as a follower of Christ, and as an heir of Christ. Dear congregation, we start this morning with two personal questions for you, so that you can meditate this week about the honest answer. The first question is this. When the Lord should ask your own life now, today, are you willing and ready to give it? I know when the Lord takes it, we have no choice. the foolish man till he heard, "This night the Lord shall ask your soul." You have to go. We have to go. And the moment there is, of course. Everybody here has to go at God's time. But now the question is, are you willing? And are you ready? Today, now. And I think that's a good question for our everyday life. When we awake in the morning, we have to realize it can be my last day today. Am I willing? Am I ready to go to my eternal home? It's very foolish and very stupid not to think about that question. For we don't know the day of our death. And our Lord Jesus teaches very clearly that we must be ready every day. That's the first question. And don't forget that question, take it with you in your heart, and let it be practiced in your life. It will be useful. For when you honestly can say by grace, "I'm willing, if it is the Lord's time, if it is His will, it's also my will. Thy will be done." I'm a stranger in this world. My home is not here, it's there, where Christ is. The more that is really true and reality in our life, the more happy we are. Now the second question. That's a question not for all of you now, but only for them who has children. When the Lord should take away today one of your children, can you agree? When it is his will, to take one of your dear children, do you say yes? Or do you say no? Everything in us comes against us. And that's what's happening here, of course, in Abram's life. You know, he had no children for a long, long time. And when Isaac was born, it was in the way of the wonder, the miracle, the impossibility at human sight, to show us that salvation is always impossible at human sight. That salvation always is and stays and becomes more and more, also in our experience, a miracle. A wonder of God's grace, free, sovereign grace. But what the Lord promises happens always, often in the way of impossibility at human sight. And he loved his son, his only one. He had another son, of course, Ishmael. But he was the fruit of the flesh. And he was not the son of the promise. And he had to send away his mother with the child. He lost that child in some way already. It's hard for the flesh. And when the Lord ordered him to do so, he was very much against the postage, you know. But he obeyed. He did. Cut off his own flesh. Of course he loved Ishmael too. He was his own flesh and blood. But he was away, sent away. And now he had only the son of the promise. The son which he received as a fruit of God's wonderful love. A son in which was also comprehended the promise of salvation. He was the seed in which Christ was hidden. So it was very, very hard and not understandable that the Lord gave him the command, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. Offer him as a burnt offering. Do you know, children, what is the meaning of a burnt offering? God gave to Abram the command to burn his own child, to kill him, and then to burn him. Is that not cruel? Is that not horrible? You cannot think about it. That the devil is doing such a thing. He did often, you know. In the false religions, in the time of Abram too. The idols asked that. To burn, to kill their own children. But the Lord never did. But now there came this command. And the meaning to kill, death, to be burnt. What does that mean? That means in every burnt offering, there are a lot of lessons for our spiritual life. Every burnt offering was an example of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. It means that on one hand, I deserve to be killed. And I deserve to be thrown in eternal fire because my terrible, terrible sins. That's what I deserve. Did you ever feel that? Do you really believe that? What you deserve? For as long as you don't believe that really, you cannot really understand and believe the other side of the burnt offering. For in a normal burnt offering, not a man was killed, not Isaac, not a son, but an animal. And you understand, my dear children, that an animal never can take away the sin of any man, but that that animal was only an example. And a preaching. The gospel was preached every day in Israel, very clearly, by the burnt offering. For the animal means, this is not a lamb. There comes another lamb, there comes a true lamb, the lamb of God. And that was the question, the beautiful question of Isaac. When he saw everything for the burnt offering, then he asked his father, Father, where is the lamp? Where is the lamp? Do you know that question? Do you understand that question, my young people? I need a lamp for my sin. I need a lamp. It's take my place, Father. But now, it came to pass that the Lord said, Isaac, you are the lamb. For when Isaac is asking that, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abram said, my son. And then he continues, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. But in the Hebrew language, it can be very good translated as my son. Point. Dot. You are the burnt offering. My son. It must be very, very touching for Abram to say that. Very, very touching for Isaac to hear that. And they came to the place that God had told him of. And Abram built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. Do you see it before you? Isaac is not crying. Isaac is not weeping. Isaac is not resisting. He doesn't say, no, father, no, I'm young. I will not die. Take a lamb. Take an animal, not me. Nothing of that all. Nothing. We only read so quiet. And bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar, upon the wood, ready. Ready and willing. How is it possible? But yet, it is true. He is willing. He doesn't run away. He could. He's young, he's strong, he's quick, fast. And his father is very old. But he doesn't. He's willing. He did a jump away. He was bounded. Is that not special? Does it not show us what grace, saving grace, is working in the heart and life of a man, a young man? For Isaac is here a beautiful example of the Lord Jesus, of course. And there are a lot of differences. One of the differences is that Isaac didn't know it before. But when the moment came and his father told him, you are the burnt offering. The Lord ordered me to offer you, my son. Then he was willing. And he was ready. But he didn't know it before. He knew it only at a moment that it should happen. But Christ, he knew it from all eternity, isn't it? He knew it when he came in this world from the first time that he was aware of his life. And he was willing from all eternity. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. It couldn't work really. All the sacrifices, they were examples, but not a matter, not a reality. We need not an example, we need reality. We need a sacrifice for our sins personally. And then the Lord Jesus from all eternity said, Psalm 40, Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I come.
So Isaac is a beautiful example of Christ, coming Christ. Christ in his loins. It's not enough.
Christ in his heart. Christ in your lips is not enough. Christ in your heart. Christ in your deeds. Christ in you. Christ visible in your life. That's the goal. That's the purpose. That's what we need.
Christ.
But yet he was a very beautiful example. Also, I mentioned it already a little bit in the obedience. Isaac was obedient to his father because his father was obedient to God. Children, be obedient. As your parents ask you to do the things of the Lord, be obedient. And when you feel, I'm not willing, I want to go my own way, I want to do my own stuff, ask the Lord continually, let Christ come and live and grow in my heart. Out of Christ you will be obedient.
Honor thy father and thy mother. And Isaac does. It's a great price. His young life. His young life. All what he thought to do. It's still more. It's, pay attention, it's his own salvation. It's not his life only, for he has Christ in his loins. When he dies, in some sense, the Lord Jesus dies. When he will not live, there is no life at all. For Christ could only be born out of him. He was the bearer of the promise. And yet he obeyed. We don't know exactly what was in the heart and thoughts of Isaac. But we know what was in the heart and thoughts of Abraham. And maybe there was a sweet unity in thoughts. For when the Holy Spirit unites our hearts in the communion of the saints, there is such a sweet unity. By the same Spirit, we have the same thoughts and the same desires and the same purpose. And there is a sweet unity spiritually between this father and his young son. And we read in the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Hebrews that Abram was accounting in his heart that God was mighty to raise him up again. So the faith of Abram was by grace strong and stayed strong. One thing Abram could not think in this situation, that God should be unfaithful to his own promise. That's not possible. He couldn't explain. He couldn't see the end of the way. It was a hard message for himself, for his son. But Yet he was accounting that God is mighty, also that he should kill his son. God was mighty to raise him up, and God is faithful to fulfill his promise. Isaac, such a beautiful example of Christ in obedience, because the Lord Jesus was obedient till the cross, till the death. There he suffered all the pains of hell. There upon him came all the anger of God against our sins. That was the difference. A big, big difference. For Isaac, he was obedient, but he knew that when he died, he should be with the Lord. He knew that the love of God and the grace of God was living in his soul. And he experienced the fruits of that love. That he loved the Lord more than anything else. That he loved the Lord more than anybody else. And so he was a beautiful example. And it was very clear that Christ was in him, living in him, not only in his loins, but by faith in his heart.
Wonderful, such an example.
Isaac was willing to give up himself, to bring the offer of his own life. He was obedient and he was willing.
When we are forced to do the things, when you are forced, children, to go to the church, to follow the catechism classes, to read the Bible, and you are forced, that's hard. But when you are willing, when you enjoy it, when you love the Lord so much, and Isaac, he loved the Lord so much. He was such a beautiful example of Christ. Christ loved his father perfectly. Christ hated sin perfectly. Isaac was not perfect, of course not. But the grace of God and the example of Christ was very clearly visible in his young life. He was not a saint in a Roman Catholic sense. He was a sinner, as you and me. But in his life is visible what grace is working out in changing a man, a young man, not selfish, not self-centered, but God-centered. Thy will be done. And so, in the second place, he became also a true follower of Christ. And that's very, very attractive, my young people, for the devil is often trying to make wise young people, you are too young. But you are not too young to die. You are not too young to sin. You are not too young to love the Lord, to be in his ways. Your young time is the best time. And Isaac is such a beautiful example for young people, a true follower of Christ who gave up his own life, his young life, everything, for the cause of God and the cause of Christ. And so he was very, very attractive. A beautiful example for our young people to seek the Lord early. To make clear for them how God is working in the lives of young people. When you see by example in the church history, you see that the Lord often worked reformations
in his church great works by young people, mostly. Calvin was young when he wrote his institution, which changed the religious world of that day till now. It's one of the most excellent theological works ever written. The institution of the Christian religion of John Calvin. The Lord used Martin Luther when he was young. And the disciples of Christ, when they were sent out to preach the gospel, they were young. Isaac was young. A follower, a true follower of Christ. And let be your desire and prayer, my young people. Oh Lord, that also in my life, something becomes visible of that grace, that saving grace, by which it's clear that I'm a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was one with the Lord, but he was also one with the Church of God. I mentioned it already a little bit, but I want to emphasize it now more. There was such a sweet unity of heart between this father and this son. How is that in our families? My young people, are you united with your parents? Can you open your heart for them? Can you share your feelings with them spiritually? Is there a unity in our families? Do we have the same purpose? This is a real sweet unity. Abram wanted to give up his son, his only one, his beloved one. And Isaac wanted to give up himself for the Lord. And never they were so one. And Isaac was bounded on the altar. And Abram was ready to kill his son. It didn't happen, of course, we know. But in his heart, they both were one. That they loved God more than their own life. That they were ready by grace to lose their life, to lose all what they loved for the love of God. And that's a beautiful, clear sign of saving grace, that we are true followers of Christ. On the one hand, it's not cheap. Grace is free. Grace is for nothing. But when grace is ruling our life, it cost our life, our flesh, our old man, all our own wishes. Thy will be done. That's the only thing. Thy name must be glorified and magnified. All things are submitted in my life to that one goal. That's the struggle lifelong, of course. And they were men of flesh and blood. And of course, it has been a struggle. It's the fight of faith, the fight of true faith. But the victory was sure. The victory by the strength and the grace of the Lord himself. So he appeared to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus. Because he sacrificed and gave up himself, that's what the Lord Jesus perfectly did. He gave up himself. He left the glory of heaven. He laid down his divine glory. He became a servant. And was as one as served in the midst of us. And he descended to hell. And he gave up himself totally. Not my will be done, but thine. And when it is thine will, O Lord, that I go to the depths of hell, it must be done. And so he was obedient until the death at the cross. And so he became a blessed, perfect Savior. And so he merited a righteousness by which we can be saved very easily, because that righteousness is so abundantly and so sufficiently and so wonderfully. Oh, and when Christ is so by faith coming and living and growing in our heart, then it becomes visible in the fruits that we are true followers of the Lord Jesus. For our nature is the opposite, isn't it? Our nature. For we can easily say, I want to give up everything for the Lord, my life, today. But it must be true. You can easily say, when the Lord should ask my child, I'm willing to give that. But you know that at the moment that it happens. I once heard of a godly woman, and the Lord took 3 of her children within short time. And the first time she said, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken, the name of the Lord must be magnified. And when she lost her second child, she was silent. She didn't say anything. But when the Lord took her third child, then she did her fist to heaven and said, this one you don't get. That's man. That's man. When the Lord took away of Job everything he had in this world, his children, his properties, his friends, his wife, his health, everything. At first it seemed to be that he was very willing and one with the way which the Lord went with him. But at the end he cursed the day of his birth. What's man? What's man? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Only the new life, Christ in us. Only the new birth. Only saving grace changes totally. That's the saving change, which is so clearly visible in the life of Isaac. Isaac had to make a choice when he was so young. To die according to the will of God. To be bound. To be killed. To be burned. That's terrible, isn't it, young people? You cannot think about it, isn't it? Or do you have other thoughts? Better thoughts. When you are a follower of Christ, then there are better thoughts. We don't know exactly the experience of Isaac at the moment. But I am inclined to think that the Lord made it very well with him. That he could do it very well and very easily. For when you read the history, it's so quiet. There is no cry. There is nothing of resistance. There is such a submitting at the will and the way of the Lord. It's so full of grace. It's so full of peace. How can that happen? When the Lord gives in your heart a foretaste of heavenly joy. When the Lord fills your heart with his loving kindness. If the Lord opens your eyes for the glory of the kingdom which is coming and the world which you shall enter, when heaven is opened. I think that's the secret. Love and grace by which the world cannot understand the children of God. You know maybe that in the time of persecution in our country, in the Netherlands, 50,000 people has been killed for their faith. About. Most of them were young people. And it often happened that they were at a point to be burned and were tortured already a lot. That there was such a glance and such a peace visible on their face that the crowd which was around went at home crying, "Happy people, happy people, I'm unhappy." These are the true people of God. You know what the Lord is giving in the heart of his people. In the best moments of our life, you know it, children of God. When the Lord made your soul free and took away your sins. When the Lord filled your heart with a peace which goes beyond all understanding. When he gave you a foretaste of heaven, in these precious moments, you could die. You wish to die. And you know what it is. To be with Christ is far more the best. To be with Christ. And I am inclined to think that when Isaac was bound on that altar, and Abraham was ready to kill him, that the Lord was with him, and the Lord was so mightily in him, that he could suffer everything, that he saw so clearly what we read by example. And tonight we will want to emphasize that more. In Romans 8, that beautiful words, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That's the difference in translation between our Dutch Bible and the King James. In our Dutch Bible is translated "to us," but I think this is possible too, and more beautiful even, "in us." Revealed in us. The glory which shall be revealed in us. But that begins here. That begins here when the Lord comes and fills our hearts with his presence, with his loving kindness, with his forgiving and saving grace. When that becomes reality, then we can live, then we can die, then we belong to him for time and eternity, because we follow the Lamb, because we follow the Lamb. And then there was another thing. He was a true follower of Christ in his willingness, in his obedience, but also in his faith. For I mentioned already that when he got the message, "You are the Lamb, you are God's sacrifice, you must die," then there was the question, how can God's promise then be fulfilled? How can Christ then be born? But what must we learn in the way of grace? not to think our own thoughts, only to obey, to do the will of the Lord. And everything what's going on and follows, giving up in His hands. So when we don't see anything, when the way of the Lord seems to be such a strange way, when the way of the Lord is so much against our own thoughts and will, yet obedience, he obeyed. In faith, believing the Lord will provide, he heard a message out of the mouth of his father. The Lord will provide. Not I, not my thoughts, only he. He is perfect wise. He is perfect faithful. We can trust him fully, fully in all eternity. That gives rest, even in the sight of death, even in the most difficult ways of our life, when we can exercise faith. The Lord does what good is. What is good? In his own eyes. Was Isaac perfect? No, he wasn't. Of course he will have his struggle. Well, only Christ is perfect. But it was true in his life. We are not perfect here. We don't become perfect here. We wish to be perfect. We are reaching for that purpose and goal. But we are still far away from it. But yet we will reach it. When we die. When we are with Christ. When we are totally, eternally united with the Savior. But he was a true follower of Christ. And that's the matter for each of us too. That is saving grace. Becomes visible in our heart, in our life, that there is something born in our soul by which we love God more than anything else, by which we can give up everything, lose our own lives, and so follow the Lord Jesus. If anybody wants to come behind me, he must deny himself, take up his cross. That's the way, the narrow way, the wonderful way, the blessed way of salvation. Maybe some of you think now, is this reachable for me? For when I hear all these things, it seems to be so impossible. Pastor, you can say that, to die today, now, to give up everything I have in this world now for Christ only. That's not easy. It is not. It's even impossible. With men, that's what you must feel. It's never a fruit of my flesh. But it's a saving fruit of grace. It's reachable. God is the same. To pour out his love in your heart, my young people. To pour out his love in your heart, older people. Then you are not really sure that you are saved, that you are in the state of grace. He is the same. Therefore, it's preached to us to make us wholly jealous. Oh, Lord, make me personally an example of Christ. Make me a true follower of Christ. For then I will be also the heir of Christ. And Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. In the stead of his son. Isaac becomes released. My friend, are you released already? Are you released? Were you bounded? Were you aware, I'm worthy, O Lord, to be killed, to be burned? And were you released? Released. Wonderful word. There, Isaac, his cords are broken. There you see him raising up as from death. And there he is free. And instead of him, the ram, no. Instead of him, Christ. Christ bounded so that we should be released. Christ killed so that we should live. Christ in the burnt offering of God's holy anger so that we should inherit all what Christ have merited. Peace, forgiveness, life. Isaac, and you, believer, hear of Christ. You are, in some measure, too little in your own feeling, but you are an example, a follower of the Lord Jesus. When faith is living and growing in your heart through saving faith, then you are. But then you are also a hearer of Christ. And I promise you to speak more about that tonight, if the Lord brings us again together, according to Romans 8, if we are children, we are heirs. And what that means, the inheritance of the Lord Jesus, we will speak out tonight more. But here we see that beautiful sight, that wonderful joy. Isaac is free. If the Son hath made you free, you are truly free, you are eternally free. And so he continued his life on the way to death. And then we see so beautifully at the end, Genesis 35, verse 29. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. Being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. And Isaac gave up the ghost, a beautiful expression. At the end of his long journey, 180 years, he gave up and lost his life for the Lord when he was maybe 17, 16, and he died when he was 180. He gave up the ghost into the hands of his Savior, and he died and started to live. For when Christ is our life, our dying is gain. Death is behind us. Life is before us. I give my sheep eternal life. The eternal inheritance is heritage is ready for all God's true people. Being old and full of days, old full of days, longing since a long time. For when he was much younger still, he expected to die already when he wanted to bless his sons, you remember. Time is coming near. That gives a sign of longing, you know. Longing. God's people is longing. Longing for their inheritance. To receive the heritage which the Lord has provided for them. Here we have some foretastes. Here we have sometimes beautiful moments, but it's short. And we are longing again, again, again. We go from strength to strength. And then we shall come there, where the heritage in fullness, in glory, is waiting upon us, being full, old and full of days, and his sons, God fulfills his promise. There is Esau, you know Esau, the child who rejected the promise. But there is also Jacob, in which the work and the grace of God is beautifully continuing. And so he was buried, and his body waits till the day of the resurrection. And then he will receive with all God's true people, with you and me, when we belong by grace, when we have the same example, when we are the same followers, when we are waiting the same heritage. Christ, God himself, God all in all, happy people, happy young men, blessed is the man who walks in the way of Christ. Cursed is the man who rejects his ways. For when you don't follow this Savior, you have a lot of joy in your life. You make maybe a lot of money, and you can fulfill all your wishes. And then the Lord is saying, you foolish man, you are lost for all eternity. And then you are bounded. There is no release. Then you are burned in the eternal fire. And there is no escape. That's the other side. The very, very serious side. Without this blessed Savior preached to you, offered to you, you are lost for all eternity. And therefore, I hope and pray that you all by grace, by means of this beautiful example, Isaac, this young man, seeking the Lord, giving up everything for Christ's sake, that you also may be and become and more, a true follower of the Lamb, and you will be saved. Amen. Let us thank and pray now. O gracious and merciful Redeemer, we thank thy holy name for this beautiful example which thou set before us, to make us wholly jealous, to encourage us, to comfort us in the struggle of life. And Lord, we beseech thee, bless it to the soul of each of us, that we may be all by grace, become all or be, heirs of this heritage. Dear Lord, pardon our sins in speaking and listening. We wish us the coming hour when we come together with the young ones, help them who teach them, and also with the adults, give us a blessed hour. Lord, we thank thee for all thy mercies. We are not worthy the least of them. Look upon us in Christ Jesus only. Amen.